The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November, is a book and a DVD. It's a Bible study on three major themes in Scripture: witness, mercy, life together. Now, the DVD features four instructional videos by Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison. You can purchase Witness, Mercy, Life Together by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, Witness, Mercy, Life Together.
My faith is a big part of who Herman Cain is.
Amazing grace will always be my song of praise.
I think it's outrageous that they will not support him because he is a Mormon.
Why didn't Christ return on October 21? It seems embarrassing for family radio, but God was in charge of everything.
What confessional Lutheranism has is that clear teaching of Christ alone. Solus Christus, Christ for us.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
It is, in some cases, a woman's, a husband's, a boyfriend's, family's closest kept secret. It is the one thing that if you found out anything about them, found out everything about them, that is the one thing they don't want you to know about them. And it really shouldn't be that way. Abortion is, in fact, wrong, but it's not unforgivable. And our silence on this may be a huge problem. All of our silence on the issue of abortion, a huge problem for the pro-life community. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, the 16th of November. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. For the first half hour, Linda Bartlett of Lutherans for Life joins us. We'll be talking a little bit about forgiveness and abortion, also her thoughts on what's wrong with sex education. She likens it to child abuse in some cases. A little bit later in this first hour, we'll talk adoption with Pastor Joel Frischi. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, I'm Adopted. Although he isn't adopted, he comes from an adopting family, and I guess he is adopted too, but in a different way. We'll talk about that a little bit later in this hour. In hour two of Issues Etc., Ms. Magazine turns 40 years old. Gloria Steinem and her fellow co-founder of Ms. Magazine have been appearing in the press talking about the advances of feminism, the great good deeds done, and kind of just basking in the praise of the culture and the media for 40 years of Ms. Magazine. We'll see what Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse has to say about feminism and 40 years of Ms. Magazine. Then we're going to review a sermon, as this coming Sunday is the last Sunday of the church year. It is that last day in the church's calendar before it begins a new church year with the season of Advent. We'll review a sermon preached last year, on the last Sunday of the church year, by Dr. Scott Murray, who's pastor of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. The last Sunday is not just the last chance to say what you need to say in this church year, but it's also the beginning. The ending is the beginning, the themes of judgment, and already Advent is rumbling in the background. We'll hear that sermon, review it with you in the last few minutes of Issues Etc. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Linda Bartlett is founder of Titus II for Life and author of two articles in the latest Life Date newsletter, one titled I Will Take Your Sin and another titled Sex Education. Linda, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. How are you?
I'm very well. You say that silence on the issue of abortion is one of the biggest problems we have. What do you mean?
I think I've noticed that we tend to be silent in the church for a couple of reasons. One, we don't want to offend. Two, perhaps there has been a choice in our own life or the life of a loved one, and we don't want to go there with a person. But after so many years in this pro-life field and knowing so many women who've had abortions, we do our greatest when we speak up, and we do it in love. We have to have those open arms, but the word strong. Most women realize what they've done. They know.
You have traveled. You have spoken quite a bit over the years. And you say that at last count, 25 of your friends, relatives, or acquaintances have shared abortion decisions with you. All are Christian, you say. Many attend regular Bible study or sing in the choir. Some are even pastors' wives. Has that surprised you over the years?
I think at first it did, and that's when things started to change for me. I had been out speaking, but then I became the listener, and it was their stories that helped me understand. I was growing weary of speaking about abortion, so now these women were helping me get to the root of it. Why were Christian-believing women choosing abortion? And their stories helped me understand that in fear, we do desperate things. In times of not trusting God's word or not knowing whose we are, we make foolish choices that have an effect on the rest of our lives. So these are the women that helped me tweak my message and, in fact, begin the Titus ministry.
Tell us the story of Abby Johnson.
Abby left her position as a director of Planned Parenthood in Texas. She was a clinic director, and she just knew she could not hurt women anymore. She'd been through the procedure of abortion herself. She's been quite visible in this country, telling her story of her connections with Planned Parenthood. But what touched me was her story of the young woman that she was assisting through an abortion. And as the abortionist says, we're about to begin the procedure, Abby heard the woman that was about to have the abortion say, "I know this is wrong. I'm guilty. I know this is a sin." The abortionist surprisingly said, "It's not your sin. I will take it for you." This made me wonder, as does Abby, no person takes a sin for another. Our sins go to the cross, and our sins get left at the cross. And then we begin over, as if Jesus picks us up, dusts us off, and puts us back on the journey again.
So if everyone, well, let's not say everyone, but if so many within the industry of abortion see this on a daily basis, they see the pain that women are in before and during and especially after, many of them realize not only in the backs of their minds, but in the front of the mind, that what they're doing is wrong. Why do you think so many continue to do it?
I think it is, again, out of a defense situation. Our circumstances often dictate to us what we ought to do. Our feelings dictate to us what we ought to do. But here, Todd, is one of the most important parts of the Titus ministry. We look at our identity. And I fear that the world has identified us wrong. It is God who identifies us. And when we know that we are his creation, and that he made us to be male and female, that gives us a whole different role that we are to live out, a purpose. And it changes our choices. It changes the way we see ourselves and others. So I think, yes, these people that are having the abortions, the people doing them, sure, there's the selfish reasons. There's money. But I think at the bottom of it for a woman is the fear. She's fearful of her circumstance, and she forgets whose she is. So she can't see her child in the same way.
So you're saying if she doesn't realize whose she is, it's almost impossible for her to think beyond herself to her child and realize that the child is hers.
She is unable, yes, to see the child as that creation of God and a creation that is to be protected and nurtured no matter what the circumstances. And you know, that's the amazing thing about our identity when we see it as God sees it. Our identity never changes no matter what the circumstances in our life. We are created by God. We are fallen creatures. Things go bad. Things go wrong. But we're redeemed in Christ. And that does make a big difference in how we see our own lives as well as those of others. It helps us deal with certain circumstances that we're in, no matter what our feelings.
Do you think that the church unwittingly, unintentionally encourages this silence on the part of those who are grief-stricken and guilt-stricken?
I think it does. I think we are silent in fear ourselves. We don't want to turn people away. We're supposed to be a growing the church movement kind of people. We don't grow a church if we confront sins, if we confront the daily agonizing decisions of life. But I think I see something different. I think we do grow the church when we help people recognize what in their heart they know to be true, and then we welcome them with those arms. It's a battle, Todd. It's always a spiritual battle. It's Satan in one ear saying, did God really say? It's Jesus there on the other side saying, yes, I have said, God has said, my word is clear. And the battle is there for our spiritual well-being. We are, after all, more than just bodies. We are souls.
Linda Bartlett is our guest. She'll be with us for another 10 minutes on the other side of the break. On this Wednesday afternoon, November the 16th, we're talking about forgiveness and abortion. And when we come back, I'd like her to share some of her thoughts on sex education. She says that it borders on child abuse. And how can that be? Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio. We get those emails in real time. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org or a tweet at issuesetc. Linda Bartlett is founder of Titus 2 for Life and author of two articles in the latest LifeDate newsletter, one titled I Will Take Your Sin and another titled Sex Education. We'll talk sex education on the other side of the break. After that, Pastor Joel Frischi joins us. Although he is not adopted in that legal, civil sense, he says we are all adopted in a spiritual sense in Christ. We'll talk about adoption with him in about 15 minutes.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan. And I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Linda Bartlett is our guest. Talking about forgiveness and abortion, and in a minute, what's wrong with sex education? She's founder of Titus 2 for Life. Linda, before we go on, tell us a little bit about Titus 2 for Life.
Well, I started it because I, again, have been speaking with so many women. I would be out speaking sharing a pro-life message, but later a woman would come up to me and share her real story. And they're the ones that helped me understand it was time to get behind the reasons why abortion becomes a choice. So the Titus Ministry actually is a mentoring ministry. It passes on the Word of God for life. It contrasts the world with God's Word. It looks at creation, the fall, redemption, which is our worldview. And it is a warning away from danger toward hope. We talk about identity, that we are creations of God, daughters of Eve, treasures of Christ, and that affects our choices. It affects our lifestyle. And we talk about the fact that our vocation is to be an Azer, a helper. And my role as an helper is to help build up, not tear down. So these are all things we do with Titus, and it's older to younger women, maturity-wise or experience-wise.
Folks, you'll find a link to Titus 2 for Life under the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Let's turn to the subject of sex education. You say that it is legalized child abuse. How can you say that?
Pretty strong, isn't it? Those are actually the words of C.S. Lewis's stepson, Douglas Gresham. I spoke with him some time ago, and he said he sees so many women who have been either had abortions or been through abusive experiences, many of them because they were sexualized so young. And he said that actually sex education, which is a fairly modern technique, a fairly modern way of thinking, it does strip away the modesty, strips away the inhibitions. It actually does not solve the problems that it was intended to solve. And I think we as Christians have always understood instruction and purity, which is, that's God talk, that's God teaching. And there are reasons for that, because that is a protective thing, maintaining the innocence of children rather than giving them all knowledge and then telling them to wait for marriage until after grad school or the career is established.
So, I mean, just give us an idea what we're talking about, because a lot of us grew up in an age where this was two or three class periods during health class, junior high, something along those lines, and it was kind of factually based and very uncomfortable for everyone involved. What's sex ed like today for kids today?
Not so different. Still, the focus, the goal of all sex education from the beginning is to make the kids comfortable with their sexuality. That is where we have to ask the question, who said that? Where does that come from? To make children comfortable with their sexuality, is that from the Word or from the world? And so I'd say in some ways, Todd, sex education hasn't changed from when you were in it or from when I was in it. But we have to understand the source. Instruction in purity is a very different kind of teaching. It's parents doing it. It's in the home. Granted, that's not happening as easily or as much today, but that is where God says we are to do it. He has given us the tools to do it with His Word. Luther's Catechism is a wonderful place to begin as well. And what it does is it keeps the gate closed and the walls up as long as we can. Children will ask questions, and they'll ask when they're ready for answers. But what we're talking about here is maintaining that innocence and not making them so comfortable with their sexuality that they can now approach the Lord's table in a provocative manner, as we see some of our young women and older women doing.
Have we just not been paying attention to what schools have been teaching our kids?
Some of us have been, but Todd, it creeps in. It creeps in through every crack and cranny. It comes into the home. It comes into the church. We need to, again, here's the difference. Are we going by what the world is telling us or by what the Word is telling us? And to know what the Word is telling us, we have to be familiar with it. The Word speaks about that flesh side of us, our sexual side, very modestly, very carefully. A parent keeps that covered, just as God covered us with clothes. we fail to keep it covered, then there's another covering, and that's the robe of righteousness. God brought to that Adam and Eve a new feeling, of a new emotion of shame and embarrassment, but he covered that both with clothing and with Christ's robe of righteousness. So here we're talking about, let's get our source right, first of all. And if we've gotten it wrong, and if we've been tempted to go more the way of the world and tried to wrap Jesus around the way of the world, then we need to take that to the cross as well and admit our failure and say, let me start over here.
So what are you talking about when you say training in purity? I mean, you write in the article about what needs to come first before there's discussion of sex is instilling in our children this notion of male and female. What do you mean by that?
We need to, again, get our identity straight. God identifies us as human beings created not in the image of animals, but of him, of God. And we're more than a body and a mind. We're a spirit. We're an immortal soul. And yes, the souls are different. They're male or female. We are bodies of male or female, equal yet different, but both called to bring glory to God for the benefit of our neighbors. We've fallen from that perfect image, and sin did change our relationship with God and others, but our identity doesn't change. We're fallen, but our identity doesn't change. We're still created, and we're still redeemed, and I'm afraid that that identity thing is what we're getting a little mixed up. The world identifies us as sexual beings, sexual from birth. Children are sexual. And you know what, Todd, I think what that does is then it opens that door to think, oh, I am a sexual being. I have a need, a right. I have an excuse.
You know, that term, sexual beings, just kind of falls off the tongue. And it seems what you've pointed out here is that we have not stopped to examine what's loaded into that term.
We've been hearing it a long time, Todd. And my husband and I will talk about this, and one day he said, Linda, I think I'm finally getting my arms around this. It is an identity thing. If we see ourselves as human beings, more than body and mind, but immortal soul, and to live out our lives on this earth as male or female in a way that glorifies God, that's going to change how we see ourselves, others, and what we decide to do. If we see ourselves as sexual, which is something that really is a worldly term, it's about 1920 or so, people like Margaret Sanger and then Alfred Kinsey and Mary Calderon and the Seekers people, all of them started focusing on the sexual because that's where they wanted to go. And they defined us as sexual beings. Pretty soon we're raising our children thinking they're sexual from birth. Of course they are. That's the flesh side. And in this fallen world, it's a troubled flesh side. It's a confused flesh side. But we're still more than that, Todd, aren't we? We are immortal souls.
With about a minute and a half, what can parents do?
I think we begin well when we... Fathers need to take their sons aside. If there's no father, then a male role model, a pastor, an uncle, a grandpa... What does it mean to be a man? Girls need to be taken aside. What does it mean to be a woman? And then we can teach respect for both. We don't put them together, boys and girls, to strip away their modesty. We keep that fence up. And parents can not fall for the lie that experts do better with their kids. God gives to parents everything they need in his word to train up a child. And then when we fail, and when things kind of start to fall apart, that's not the end. There's a new beginning, and it's found at the cross where we leave the baggage. And I know there are a lot of parents who are troubled because they didn't make right choices or they weren't pure. But God forgives that. That's in the past. And when we acknowledge that, we get to start over with our kids and remind them that their bodies are not their own to do with as they please. We are more than sexual beings. We are immortal souls.
Linda Bartlett is founder of Titus II for Life, author of two articles in the latest LifeDate newsletter, one titled I Will Take Your Sin, another titled Sex Education. Linda, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Folks, please help us defend life from beginning to end by making a year-end tax-deductible gift. To support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc., remember, no gift is too small. Now, we are looking for three major year-end gifts this year. $12,000 donation to pay for all of our internet and phone costs for a year. That's how much it costs. It's very stiff. A $5,000 donation for our yearly rent of these offices and studio. And a $2,000 year-end contribution earmarked for all of our utilities for an entire fiscal year. That's how it breaks down for us in terms of some of our major costs. Now, you can make a year-end tax-deductible contribution at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. Send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. That's LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of this year. When we come back, we'll talk adoption with Pastor Joel Frischi. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
12 nurses have filed a lawsuit against the University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey. The nurses were told to train to assist with abortion or lose their jobs. When one nurse told a supervisor it was against her religious beliefs, the response was the hospital has, quote, no regard for religious beliefs. This blatantly violates state and federal laws. A hospital receiving tax funding can't force staff to participate in killing innocent preborn children. This is happening while Mr. Obama works to erode the conscience rights of medical staff. The Alliance Defense Fund is representing the nurses, and a federal judge issued a temporary restraining order against the hospital. The lawsuit also asks that nearly $60 million tax dollars given to the hospital this year be returned.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.